I thought it would be super fun to reach back into the past, back to 2011 and subsequent years, and share some of my old blog posts with you, which were actually the launching pad to this podcast. They're all posted in a section called Thoughts by Me on my website. I'll put a link in the description. And there's actually some fun recipes on there that I had completely forgotten about that I will be revisiting. And there's some interesting challenges, like life challenges that I challenged myself to that I blogged about. Kind of fun. So let's take a blast to the past. Thoughts from the treadmill, March 4th, 2017. My workout time is more like worship time. I call it worship workout. I listen to sermons, my audio Bible, and worship music. Yes, I'm the lady in the gym, belting out songs of praise at the top of my huffing, puffing breath. I'm not embarrassed, and most people have their headsets on and can't hear me anyway, I think. I discovered that when I focus on God, the hard things in life become easier. The overwhelming becomes doable. What I think is ridiculous becomes necessary. The unachievable becomes victory. If I take the focus off of me and my health struggles, my workout becomes something I look forward to instead of dread. Especially on the days I really don't feel good, when I have to force myself to face my dizzy, nauseous, off-kilter days, but would rather sleep through it, even though I feel it in sleep. Like I told my sister last night, if I focused on all the negative in my life, I would end up in the fetal position in a padded room, overcome by despair and hopelessness. But we could all say that. It's all about perspective. It's all about our choice of focus. Today, during worship workout, I listened to a sermon titled Thoughts and Behavior. It focused on self-control. When they hit on a particular point, my flesh arrogantly screamed, "Boy, I'm glad that's not my issue anymore." But then my morning devotional came to mind, which hit on the same topic. Unfortunately, my reaction was the same both times. Any red flags going up for you too? I don't believe in coincidence. I call it God incidents. Usually when God repeats something in scripture, it means, hey, pay attention here, beware and on the lookout. When I come up against the same warning twice, I'd better keep my eyes peeled. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I don't want to be complacent and ride on the waves of former triumphs. It's so easy to be on autopilot and not notice what's about to sideswipe us when we think a particular battle is won. Regrettably, humans have a tendency to contrast our lives with one another. We have this ridiculous urge to keep things fair. It's drilled into our heads from childhood. My mom tried to make things fair between my older brother and I, as many parents do, by getting us the same items for birthdays and holidays. And the harder she tried, the more guy stuff I got. Like the Atari, which I rarely used, but my brother loved. Not a gamer. Mom tried to match her parenting style to be the same for both of us, even though we were two completely different individuals, for fairness. She allowed me to do things because he had done those things, to be fair. So, where do we get this idea? The Bible doesn't even allude to making sure we are fair. Yet we try to no avail. Fair, in this sense, suggests entitlement, what I deserve, my human right, what's owed to me, equality. The dictionary doesn't even define it that way. The enemy is lying to us and we are falling for it. If I compare my life to yours, I could come up with the short stick every time if I don't know what you went through to get where you are. From the outside, your life may be enviable, but the inside might be bleak and desperate. You might look like you've got it together, but are crumbling in the inside. I used to wish that I could live someone else's life, even just for the day. Step out of my own sorrow and suffering for a minute. I wanted to be a better singer, be more graceful, less clumsy, more observant, less ADHD, more in control of my emotions, less out of control, more loved, less whatever the problem of the day was. I prayed that constantly. I wish I could just be someone else today. My life is too hard. I looked around and saw moonbeams and rainbows around many others' lives. I thought if I could just avoid being me, that life would be spectacular. Then one day God confronted me about it. "It's so unfair," I whined, as I had many times before. "Why do K and J get to do that and I can't? What's the harm? Why am I not allowed to do it and they are?" I believe he promptly put me in my place. "Because you're not them. Have you walked in their shoes? Have you gone through the trials they went through? Have you cried their tears? Have you been overtaken by their fears? Have you lived their life?" And as that sermon reminded me, I've asked him for a lot. Do I want it or not? The answer is yes, I do. Well, then, I don't always get to do what others do. What's good for the goose could be destruction for the gander. Instead of trying to be what I can never be, I need to see myself through my Creator's eyes. Instead of wishing for the same gifts another has, I need to allow God to develop my gifts. Instead of whining about what I don't have, I need to praise and thank Him for what I am blessed with, which is a lot. I'm entitled to nothing on this earth. I deserve nothing good. I was made from dust, and to it I will return. I can feel sorry for myself, do the bare minimum, and ride the shirt tails of God's mercy and grace, and still get to heaven. But you get out of life what you put into it. I need to go all in and embrace God's exclusive plan for me and not be nosy about His plan for others. It's none of my business. On Judgment Day, He's not going to ask me to account for someone else's deeds. I'm so grateful about the fact that God is not giving me what's fair. Actually, I deserve a long, torturous death for some of the things I've done in my 42 years. It wasn't fair that Jesus died because of my major shortcomings. It wasn't fair that God had to turn His back on His own flesh and blood, even momentarily, to redeem us from the pit we continue to dig and climb out of repetitively. I don't want God to love me the same as He loves others. I want Him to love me uniquely, for who I'm created to be, not for who He created someone else to be. My life is complicated enough. I don't need to be jealous of someone else's battles. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. 2 Timothy 1, 6-12.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button right there for me. And click the bell if you want notifications. And hit that like button too. And I will see you next time. Maranatha! Wash me clean. I want to follow where He leads. We were made to love. We were made to give. The reason why we're here. The reason why He gave us life. We were made to show the love of Christ. We know this is why we're here. This is why He gave us life. So let His love shine through in everything we do. It's all for love.